Hi, I'm Bambi. I am an addict. It'll take me a little while to get used to the mic as well, like, so I might be like yelling at some bits and like might be like, all right, thanks.
Don't take too long.
Okay. So my name is Bambi. I'm an addict.
Hi.
One thing I want to say, like, very quickly, is that I'm aware that this is like a gendered chair. So like, there's a boy and then there's a girl, which is like not really what I am. I don't identify as male. I identify as non-binary, which might seem kind of besides the point, but it feels really important for me to make sure that that's clear. That yeah. Anyway, I don't mean that in like a polarizing way, because like I realize some people might be like, "What the fuck is that about?" But that's your problem, not mine. Whatever. That wasn't supposed to be funny. Okay, so starting off. So my using. Oh, the first thing to say is always, if you don't identify with my chair, that's completely fine, because I'm not you. Your using or your addiction will be like potentially very different to mine. But there's loads of meetings out there, and there's loads of chairs. There's even another one tonight, so like, you're in luck. In all likelihood, someone somewhere will have things that will be useful to you and you can identify with. So don't panic if you're like, this like weird man, dude, or whatever they call themselves, doesn't have anything that's relevant to me. Don't worry, that's fine. Just listen to someone else. So my using was like super miserable. When I came into the rooms, I heard like loads of stories about people having these like wild party lives, and then like, oh, curses, it goes wrong, and then like, you know, they can't stop or whatever. Mine was never like that. It was really boring and it was really miserable. From like a really, really young age. I'm also going to talk a lot about queerness during this, because that's just like my life. So again, I think that you can identify with that even if you're not queer, in a variety of ways, so try and see past that if you can. But I grew up in like this really awful environment of shame. I grew up in a family which was quite conservatively Christian and quite traditional, and my parents had no tools for emotional communication. I just grew up in this like kind of vacuum where everyone was very pleasant to each other. Everyone was really nice. But we only sort of expressed like the most timid forms of emotions. So like there wasn't really like deep sadness acknowledged. But there also wasn't like great joy acknowledged. It was just like, okay, tick, like someone had a feeling, move on. And that meant that I grew up not being able to communicate about how I felt, and like kind of feeling shame if I felt something very deeply, which I'm very much like the standard child from the Big Book, you know, like restless, irritable, and discontent. Like I was kind of always like, just felt really weird about life and felt really confused and baffling about why it was so scary and difficult. And I had all of those feelings, and then I didn't know how to talk about them, and I didn't have anyone to talk about them with. On top of that, I grew up in a like super awful little farming village where like the main export was heroin. Like it's literally it's on Urban Dictionary with like its own nickname, because it has the highest, or had the highest, rate of heroin per capita. So there's more heroin per person in that town than there is like in any other town, which is just wild because it's like literally a farm. And it was a really sort of very racist, very homophobic, very closed-minded little space. And I grew up in that atmosphere as, you guessed it, a queer person. And sort of very, very early on, it was made very clear to me that like that was not acceptable, and that was not okay. And so I hid that and felt a lot of shame about it. those attitudes were also very prevalent in my family. So whenever I displayed any kind of queerness or like signifiers of queerness or hints or clues, those were like very actively and determinedly shamed by my family in order to try and discourage that or discourage the appearance of that. And the thing about that is when you're offered shame by people that you trust and people that you have this kind of like authoritarian relationship with, or that you're told that you trust and you see other people trusting, you accept that very readily. I just kind of thought, oh, they think this about me, so it must be true. And so like every time they said something like that, I would take that on board very readily, and eventually it becomes like its own mechanism within you, where you have like this huge ocean of shame that you've built up from other people, and then you know that the thing that they've been talking about and shaming you for should be shamed. Like, you deserve that because you trust them. And then it becomes a mechanic in itself. So I begin to shame myself for these things about who I am, because I know from them that it's bad. And that's sort of what became the foundation of my drinking and my using in my life. As I grew older and I experienced drugs and alcohol, and they sort of took me out of myself. That's the main sort of reason why I used drugs, was to get away from myself for a little while, and sort of just take a rest. Because when I was using, I wasn't a person. I was just somewhere other than my body and other than my mind. And that's kind of the main reason why I used the drugs that I used, and I avoided the drugs that I avoided. I actually had a really interesting conversation about that with a friend of mine recently. Like, I was really terrified of like those introspective drugs, like the spiritual experience kind of ones. You know, I stayed away from things like mushrooms or LSD because I was just like, inherently I am a bad person, and I don't want to take anything which is going to make me look at aspects of my psyche more. I just wanted the things like the pharmaceuticals, where you take this and like you don't feel anything for 12 hours. Like, that was my ideal kind of thing. And I think that's really important. I've spoken a lot about what the foundation for my using was, and that may not be a similar foundation to yours, but I think it's really vital and useful for you to go away and think for yourselves about what is the thing that kind of drove my using. Where did that come from? And for some of you, it may well just be that like weird underlying thing of being an addict, where you just use and then you use more because that's what you do, because that's how you operate. Like, you just always want more. And there's definitely an element of that in my using as well. But I'll move on from my using for now. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what I think is useful for newcomers and when you're like early in the program. In the beginning, people are going to be like offering lots of things to you. They're going to be offering their time and their energy, and you might kind of feel a bit guilty potentially about taking that, which is weird because most of us, like, as addicts, probably like stole loads of shit from people. I mean, I know I did. And then you kind of feel weirdly guilty about like accepting help from someone, but don't. The other person is getting something out of that transaction as well, and it's useful for them. And regardless of that, like, this is probably your last chance. Like, just stay in here and take everything that people will give you, that they're willing to give you, and don't worry about giving back just yet, because you can give back later. I've definitely seen people in the rooms like try too hard early on to like help other people or to kind of stand alone, whatever. Just don't do that. Just accept help. Accept all of the help that you possibly think you might even maybe potentially need, and don't feel bad about it. Just take, and then later on you can give. That's my advice. I'm really like just trying to bash this out. So find your own tools is another thing. I think that whatever keeps you clean and whatever keeps you in these rooms is valid, and some choices are definitely better than others. But your own tools that you find for staying clean are valid. Things that like really, really helped me when I was in early recovery were tattoos. Getting tattoos really, really helped me. Both because of like the symbolism of like reconstituting my body and like having agency over my body in like a positive way for like the first time in a really, really, really long time, and changing this like vector for obsession and degradation and humiliation and addiction into something which was positive and beautiful, even if it was kind of ugly, because you might have noticed some of my tattoos are really fucking ugly. But they're mine and they're my choice, and that's super powerful, because I didn't have choices for a really long time. All I had was like this urge to use. There's also like a whole other host of things that are great about tattoos, and like feel free to talk to me about those. I love it. Music was really, really important for me as well. I found really, really early on that I could spot in songs and in artists' songs, like lyrics that were literally just taken from the Big Book, and like suddenly they had this meaning, and I was like, holy shit, oh okay, this person's a fucking addict, great. And like I just found that really amazing, because then I could listen to like either their miserable songs about their using days, or like their kind of hopeful songs, or like songs that were like outright about coming into the rooms, and for me that was kind of like having just that little bit of extra help or extra solidarity nearby on a like really accessible basis, which leads me on to another thing, which is online chairs. Sometimes it's like 3 a.m. and you really, really want to take some fucking drugs, but there's no meetings around and you kind of don't want to ring someone necessarily. I mean, you should. That's the thing you should do. But like sometimes you don't feel like you can do that. But there's loads of meetings online. Listen to those. Like, YouTube is a wonderful free resource, and it's filled with thousands of chairs. Listen to those and make use of them, because you can listen to it on your commute or while you're cycling, like whatever. I find that really, really useful, because it also means I don't necessarily have to interact with people if I don't have the energy. And also, like, I found silly things like drinking loads of ginger beer helps me with not drinking, because it just gave me something to do, and it gave me lots of sugar, which is like one of the difficult things about alcohol is it's really sugary. So when you're in the rooms really early, like you crave a lot of sugar because you're used to that. And menthol toothpicks really helped me with smoking, because I used to smoke a lot of weed. I loved weed. And yeah, chewing on menthol toothpicks in meetings, that really helped. I know it's kind of like trivial, but hey, that's my experience. So something that I always mention in chairs, because I'm running out of time, is so this book is pretty damn good. The language in it has been revised a lot more recently than the language in the AA one. But I think still there's a lot of language in it that is difficult for some of us, in that it's very heavily gendered, or, you know, sections of it are kind of like a bit shitty about women. Like, let's be honest. And you might find that some of the things in it are barriers to you understanding or connecting with the language, with the message. And if you're a person that finds the language parts of the book difficult, just know that there are other people who feel that way, and you can't use it as an excuse to not get clean, because other people haven't, and other people have probably had harder times than you with the language as well. So, like, pull it together, find other people who have difficulty with that language and talk with them about that. Talk with them about your experience of finding things difficult, because inherently, like, as a little slice of the world, like, there are prejudices in the rooms, and you just need to find other people who feel that way and find the way that they do their programs and share with each other and help each other. It's okay, like, just do that. I guess I've run out of time, so sorry.
Thank you
so much.